morally correct. That is what Christians should be concerned with, not politically correctness. Many times politically correct is where they want you to overlook truth and accept whatever they fork at you, okay? That doesn't cut it with Christians. With Christians, there's only one salvation, and that's Christ. And when you have a group of people, I don't care who they are, trying to remove the word God, Yahweh, or Christ from our vocabulary, they're your enemy. They're not a friend. When they try to prevent you from your freedoms of religion, they automatically become your enemy. And whether it be a lawyer or whoever, don't do business with your enemy. Pick a Christian to do business with, and someone that's not ashamed of the word Christ, period. You know, otherwise you're a failure as a Christian. Well, we just want to wish it not. This business of changing, taking Christ out and putting in Happy Holiday doesn't cut it. Happy Holidays won't save you. Christ is your Savior. But the important thing, as always, is what did Christ have to say about this? Let's go to His Word. Luke chapter 11. Let's turn there, if you would, please. Luke chapter 11. Christ is talking here to a group that are looking for a sign, and He said, you're not going to have any sign but the sign that of Jonas the prophet. That is to say, he went into the whale's belly 3 days and he came back out and saved Nineveh. Well, Christ went into the grave for 3 days and came back out and saved the world for those that would have anything to do with Him. But then in verse 33, what does He say? No man. This is chapter 11, the great book of Luke. Luke meaning light giver, and this happens to be the subject in this particular verse. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. In other words, you can't take Christ and hide Him under... He is the light. You understand that. You can't take His name away from things and pretend it doesn't exist if you're a Christian. That's an insult. That's an abomination. But how Christians like to get along. Wouldn't Jesus just want us to get along with them and not offend them? Well, I don't know. Let's hear what He's got to say about it. Verse 34. The light of the body is the eye. It's your eye is the gate and the door to your spiritual being. Therefore, when thine eye is single or clear, when it can truly see, your spiritual eye, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Naturally, light dispels darkness. And you've got people who say, it's okay. Just don't offend anyone. Take Christ out of it. Take the name of God out of it. A nation under God? Don't offend someone. Hey, anybody that doesn't approve of God or Christ, I love to offend them. They deserve being offended because that might save their soul ultimately. Otherwise, what kind of Christian are you? Are you ashamed of something? You're not surely not ashamed of your Savior. So let the light shine. Christ is that light. You're the candlestick that's supposed to reflect it. Reflect it. And don't allow anyone to place an obstacle in the way of children or non-believers seeing the light. Many would say, well, are you talking about the light on a Christmas tree? No. What did God say in one of the last chapters of Hosea? He said, I'm a great fir tree, which it means eternal life, green leaves year round. You know, never like an oak tree, they fall off, but symbolically speaking. So don't ever let anyone rob you of what God says He is. Don't be ignorant concerning God's Word. Let the light shine. And I'm not telling you to have a Christmas tree with lights on it. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay, But if that's what it is, that's what it is. But well, let's call it a pretend tree. No, it's a Christmas tree. Do you know what bothers people about calling it a Christmas? Do you know what Christmas is? Okay. They want Christ's name removed from it. And he's the light. So if you remove him, what have you got? You got nada, zippo, nothing. 35, take heed. That means you be real careful, be on guard. Therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Empty. Doesn't amount, you don't amount to a hill of beans. You don't reflect any light from Christ. Well, it'll be all right. Let's just don't offend anyone. Shame on you. If you don't stand for something, you stand for nothing. There is a war against Christianity at this time, and it's time it ended. You know, we're 84%. I think it's more like 94%, let's say in America alone. And we're going to let a few tell us what to do? When isn't this a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people? Are we a bunch of wimps that we let people take advantage of us? I say no. Well, but again, what would Christ do? We just want to know, would he offend someone? Well, I don't know. If 36, if thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part of dark, not even any dark spots there, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. In other words, most consciences sometimes have a blind spot, but with Christ giving the salvation, those are washed away. And you can see clearly. Don't let anyone rob you of Christ. Don't stand for it. You don't have to. Many people in this great nation have fought and shed blood. Yours truly has. So that we have freedom of religion, freedom of speech. It came at an awesome price, I'm going to tell you for sure. It's not an easy thing. But many people have paid even the supreme sacrifice that you could have the right to worship Christ. You know, you might say, well, how do you know they were Christian? Well, look at the cemetery. Look at the military cemeteries. What are we going to do about the crosses out there? Do you know what it means when there's a cross? It's a Christian. Row after row after row, so that you could stand up for him, so that you could be a Christian, that tyranny and terrorist could not take over, and you would have that right of freedom. But again, then I would still ask, what would Jesus say about this? Well, he continued speaking on a little bit, and he kind of told them, as it states in verse 44, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, that's play actors, pretending to be something you're not. And we'll explain what he was talking about here in a moment. That's what the word hypocrites means in the Greek, okay, is a play actor. For ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. In other words, you've got death right under their feet, and they're walking around over you as you put on your hypocritical act, and they don't realize they're messing around with death. Who's death? Satan. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. So you can mess around with death if you're not real careful, excuse me, when you're trying not to insult someone. You know, Jesus died on the cross for you. Reckon he was insulted up there when they were spitting at him and throwing slurs at him? Do you reckon he was ashamed to die for you? Then you shouldn't be ashamed to stand for him. Now, Let's pick it up with verse 45, and this is why we came here. Sharpen up for me. Then answered one of the lawyers, and we're getting right down here to the nitty-gritty, right down to the politicians, so to speak, okay? And said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproacheth us also. You've insulted us. You've offended us. That's not politically correct. This word reproacheth in the Greek is hubizo, and it means to insult. So you just really insulted us. What is Jesus going to do? Is he going to fall on his knees and say, "Will you please forgive me?" I know that wasn't politically correct. Is that what he's going to do? This is what you're supposed to do. He's cut the path for us, okay? Is he going to say, "I just want you to know I apologize from the bottom of my heart if that offended you in the least way"? You know, this same word, this group of words that we deal with here, this word hubizo, in this word group, whether it used, it's pronounced a little different, whether used as a noun or a verb. To those that offend easily, it comes off as arrogant, you know. But when a person speaks truth strongly and boldly, the weak call them arrogant. It isn't arrogance. It's truth. And sometimes the truth does insult and does offend some. Should you worry about it? Well, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to do my neighbor. Hey, your neighbor can't be your enemy. Wake up. If you have a neighbor that is your enemy, don't call him neighbor. Call him enemy. So, I mean, you've got to use logical common sense and love everyone. Love everyone I don't care what religion they are. I shed blood on the battlefield so that anyone can believe in this nation as they choose. I don't care what religion they are, quite frankly. They have the right and the freedom, but don't get in the way of Christianity. Then you overstep the bounds and become my enemy. Not a friend, but an enemy. If you try to prevent or pervert Christianity. Well, anyway, this guy, these lawyers said, "You have just really offended us. You've insulted us. That's not politically correct." Well, let's see what was morally correct, because whatever Christ answers, that will be morally correct. Verse 46. He says to them, and he said, "Woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers." This word touch, you lose it if you don't get this word touch in the Greek. It means as you would gently lay your finger on to take some, it's a medical term meaning to take your pulse, or to easily feel a sore place. Okay? What he's saying is, you don't get in there and pitch. All you do is just, you wouldn't go out of your way one inch to help anyone. Well, wouldn't that be more insulting? Yes, well, I don't know. How smart are you? I think Jesus was able to speak for himself. He said, "Woe unto you bunch of hypocrites. You that load up the Word of God to where it makes it impossible for anyone to follow it and find the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, we were seeking a sign back in verse 29. You make it impossible for them to find the truth, and you won't go in yourself. You won't touch salvation. But wonder why they wouldn't, okay? Well, let's find out. "Woe unto you," verse 47, "for you build the sepulchres, you build the graves of the prophets, and your fathers killed them." Woo, now we're talking about Kenites, okay? We're talking about those that slipped in for a purpose to be enemies of Christ. 48, "Truly you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers," lowercase, not our father, "for they indeed killed them, and you build their sepulchres." You do something holy. You try to put them away nice. Verse 49, "Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, That's just the way it is. God promised that. Verse 50. Listen carefully. How sharp are you? Are you a Bible student? Then you tell me who he's talking to after you read this verse. That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. This word generation in the Greek is offspring. Offspring of who? Verse 51. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation, of this offspring. Now, who are we talking to? It said your fathers, lowercase, did it. Who slew Abel? Do you need three guesses? I don't think so. You know it's Cain and his offspring in the Hebrew tongue are Kenites. And is it possible then that a Kenite can find Christ? Absolutely. Because they become then a child of God, not a child of Satan. But as long as they operate as children of Satan trying to remove Christ, you better recognize what's going on, because we're nearing that time that the Antichrist will appear, as it's written in the first epistle of St. John. And he's going to claim to be everything that Christ would claim to be. That's why his children like to throw stumbling blocks in the way. We have freedom of religion in this great nation, whereby anybody can worship as they choose. And that's fine. I don't care what religion you might be. But don't try to prevent another belief. We have that freedom in this nation. And again, I will say, it came at an awesome price. So stand up for it. Don't put up with it. What did Christ do? He called them what they are. But you offended us, Jesus. Tough stuff. Woe to you. You're going to die if you don't change your way. That's why he would do it. Do you realize that's love? Otherwise, they're going to hell. And he's the door. He's the salvation. So it is. Verse 52. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. That's what happens. If you take away Christ, what is Christ? Knowledge. Wisdom. As it is written in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is to love God. Okay. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were in entering in. You hindered. You got in the way. You tried every way in the world. But let's just take the name of God out of the little children's opening to the great nation, one nation under God. Let's just take Christ out of Christmas. Though we know that it is the time of the conception, there's a war against Christ. And it's obvious from Christ's own words who accomplishes it. Well, what dispensation of time was he talking to? Well, I don't know. Let's read on. 53. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees begin to urge him vehemently, and to provoke him to speak of many things. Talk. Take a lesson from this. If you don't know what you're talking about, sometimes it's best to keep your mouth shut if you're arguing with Satan. You understand? 54, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. So, you see, we live in a wonderful nation, and world, actually, that everyone has the freedom to choose their own belief. That's wonderful. And I'll fight for their right to believe it and to worship as they choose. But don't get in the way of Christianity. Then you become my enemy, and I have to fight you. I have to stand against you. I have to pray against you. If you're living as an example in America, or the Americas, it's way, way, way over Christianity. About, I think, 94%. And do all of them live that way? Well, I wish it were true. They don't. But hey, don't mess with them. Don't insult them and let where they know it's an insult, or you'll find out that to be Christian born is Christian born. But anyway, I will fight for anyone's right to believe as they believe. But if you go against Christianity, you become my enemy. And anyone that will become an enemy in a nation that's 94% Christian, you're in bad company, friend. That's dangerous. It truly is. People might stop doing business with you. They might make you pay big time. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ stood up for our rights, and we should stand up for them also. Now, let's take this same word group of insult, arrogance. It's according to how it is applied. They said that Christ had done this to them. Did he? No. He was trying to help them with truth. Truth that would save them. Truth that would give them eternal life. They refused it. Now, let's go to the book, great book of Romans. Romans chapter 1. Where we find in this book of Romans chapter 1 that to go against God's word in anything that is perverted is a perversion. Period. And of course, I'm going to spare us the verses where it says men that change the natural state of things. And I'm going to pick it up, if I may, in verse 28 of Paul's teaching here. And we're going to pick up on this word again as it is utilized here. Verse 28 reads, just after he told them, many of you have perverted the natural things of God. God created things as they are, male and female. He intends it to stay that way. Okay. Now, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, let's remove God's name from our vocabulary. Let's take Christ out of Christmas. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They're not right. Never have been, never will be. Why? Why would someone want to remove God's name unless it was to take away his authority where they could pervert things as they so chose? And so it is. It kind of answers itself. If you read the verses just before we started here, you'll find out. Okay? But some people can't stand the name of Almighty God, our Father, and His Son, our Savior. 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, always murmuring and moaning and groaning about something and never catching the golden ring of happiness. That's what happens when you pervert things that God created naturally. Verse 30, backbiters. Boy, don't you just love a backbiter, you know? I need to train you on that. I sure like my Tahoe. It really does get...
My uncle had a Tahoe and it ain't worth a hoot.
I mean, it doesn't matter what comes up. There's always something wrong with a person like that. Haters of God, that identifying them. Despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. The word despiteful here is hubidzak, which is the same word we had before. It's insulters. I mean, just really all and out despicable, exercising violence. The word means to abuse, to insult, to be proud, to be arrogant. This is not somebody just claiming someone is arrogant like they claim Christ was. Christ knew what he was talking about. That's not arrogance. These people are arrogant. 31. Without understanding, covenant breakers, I mean, if God gives them a covenant, they can't keep it. Without natural affection. Natural affection, you love your mom and daddy, okay? There's times and there's extenuating circumstances in some cases, and I understand. Brothers and sisters, okay? It's natural, and natural affection, blood runs for blood to care, okay? Implacable, unmerciful. I mean, having no mercy on anyone, anything. If it isn't their way, it's the highway, okay? That's bad. That removes the natural love of God and turns it into an insult. I'm just showing you what kind of people you can allow to work in our political setup and in our governmental setup, if you don't watch things. And of course, the subject before was lawyers, okay? And that falls off to judges and so forth that try to legislate rather than judiciate. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, it's always fair, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They like to go in a pack, you know. A bunch of ratchet jaws, politicians, lawyers, and never standing for what is right and decent and for what this nation has stood for from conception is our Father. Our forefathers came to these shores to have freedom of religion, that some government could not establish a church and say, this is what you're going to believe. Okay. That's why we have in our great set of orders, our Constitution, separation of church and state, meaning not that we didn't have the freedom to worship, but that the government couldn't found a church and say, this is it, everybody else is out the door. You know? Quite frankly, the way it was the Church of England, okay, before they left. I mean, you either did it that way or there was no way, all right? Many wars fought over this, and the war still continues. War against Christianity, war against our Savior. Now, you know, a lot of people might say, well, that makes me just a little bit uncomfortable. I wonder if it made him uncomfortable dying for you. I wonder if he was a little bit uncomfortable on the cross when he paid the price that you can repent and have forgiveness of your sins. I wonder if he was uncomfortable. Well, make a stand. Stand for something or stand for nothing. That's just the way it is. That's the way Christ handled it. And if you're a Christ man, that's the way you handle it. You do it in a loving way. When someone is totally over the hump, warn them. Say, hey, you're going to go to hell if you don't change. You're trying to destroy the only salvation there is. And when you're working against that, you're digging a hole just deeper and deeper and deeper until you're going to dig it all the way to hell if you're not careful. You're going to uncover those bones that the scripture lawyers covered over, death. I'm referring to the verse we just covered. One of the greatest chapters in God's Word, Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go there. This is the chapter where Christ would say, lo, I come in the volume of the book to die for you, whereby you don't burn sacrifices. I'm the sacrifice for one in all times, and I do this for you. And this is the chapter in which that is done. But I want to pick it up on morally correctness as we come to this chapter. Skip down to verse 16 with me, if you would. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, after Christ having said, I come in the volume of the book. I die for you for sins forever. Verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, minds, and in their minds will I write them. And so he shall. You won't, in the millennium, you won't have to ask someone, do you know the way of the Lord? They will. It's discipline that will be taught there. 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. In other words, when it comes judgment day, people worry about, oh, he's going to bring that up. No, he isn't. If you repented for it, aren't you a Christian? You believe what he says? It doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. I won't remember it. Don't want to hear it. Now, where remission, that means forgotten, of these is, there is no more offering of sin. How can you offer a sin for something that doesn't exist? Okay? You want to remember when you have one of these people you're counseling that says, I just don't know if God forgives me or not. Remember this. You can't offer remission for a sin that's already forgiven. It's gone. And if you take that too much further, you're insulting the forgiver. And that happens to be our Savior. So you want to lock that in. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. In other words, that holy of holies, when Christ died on that cross, or gave up the ghost of the flesh, that veil was rent from top to bottom, that you can boldly, with the blood of Christ, walk right into the Holy of Holies. You don't have to be the high priest. You don't have to put little tinker bells on your shoes so that they know you're alive in there. I mean, that's what God thinks of you. That's great. That's wonderful. Verse 20. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, his body opened that. We can walk right in. Okay. He brings us there with no guilt when it's forgiven. And having an high priest over the house of God, he is that high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is covered back in chapter 7 of this same book. Let us draw near with a true heart, don't play act, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Christ is that water. He does cleanse. When it's washed away, it is gone. You know, this is why it's so sad to hear a Christian say, I just wish I could get closer to God again. I have sinned. Well, repent. Wash it away and it doesn't exist. Okay? Period. Go in and don't be ashamed. That's what he's saying. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You can count on it. When he said it, you can believe it. He died to pay the price to make that covenant possible. 24, and let us consider one another to provoke, that means to help, unto love and to do good works. Now, beloved, remember, good works is standing up for Christ. Okay? So many Christians, I mean, we just got to be a goody-goody two-shoes. It didn't say that. It didn't say that at all. It said you're supposed to follow Christ. Do it Christ's way. 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, and ye see the day, as you see the day approacheth. It's coming. The church body is not to grow. You know, when you feed oneself and one studies, you don't study for your own benefit. You don't study to see and to know and to understand. You study in part, if you're a mature Christian, to help. Do you understand that right now there are people hearing us for the first time? Thousands of them hearing us for the first time. Have you forgotten them? Are you just so greedy you want it all for yourself? Or are you a part of the family that reaches out to all ears and all levels that they can see and hear and understand? That's why we gather together, is to reach out and let that message of the Savior, that is morally correct, to teach the difference between morally correct and politically correct. Politically correct to teach Christians into bringing or accepting something that is morally wrong in God's Word is blasphemy. Let's call it what it is. That's what it is. And they are enemies of Christ if they do it deliberately and not in ignorance. But that's what the family of God is for, is remembering all, helping all, and even trying to help that sinner if they can. 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. In other words, if you refuse the Spirit of God to speak through you, to lead you and to guide you, that's the unpardonable sin. We're talking about when you're delivered up before the false Messiah. It's not, there's no, His blood won't forgive that for you. It's unforgivable. That's why this becomes a little bit, I mean, quite serious, my friend. That's why Jesus would say, woe to them. You're messing around with the unpardonable sins. 27, but a certain fearful looking of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. That's what's going to happen to them. That's why if you save one of them, fantastic, okay? But don't let them rob you, okay? 28, he that despised Moses' law, that's to say broke it, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. That was it. 29, of how much sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be through thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Do you know what the Spirit of grace is? That's the Holy Spirit. Well, how could they possibly put underfoot the Son of God? Take Christ's name out of it. Don't stand for anything. Let it melt down lukewarm, and God will spew you from His mouth, as it's written in Revelation chapter 3. He doesn't like that sort of thing. He doesn't appreciate it. You're either a Christian or you're not. That's the way it is. This word, despite, that's why we came here. The word despite is inuvidzo. It's the same word. Insult. Arrogant. Hurtful. And to the Spirit of grace, to the Holy Spirit. That's the way he considers it. That's very serious, my friend. It doesn't, that this word despite that sure doesn't carry the value of the Greek word utilized here. And I like in Greek literature, most often it's translated as arrogance. And it was to a proud know-it-all, but they knew nothing. And that's anyone that goes against the Holy Spirit is exactly in that category. They may think they know it all. They don't know nothing. The Holy Spirit leads, guides, directs, touches, strengthens, builds. Or he can just as quickly take it all away. That's our choice. That's your choice. 30. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. There's no other judge. That's why you can rest so assured and be comfortable in the Word of God. Because it is his Word, and that's what he judges you by. Well, what did he say about sin? He said, I don't want to remember it. Once I forgive it, it's gone. Don't you throw it back up in my face again. You know, you want to listen to your father, because vengeance doth belong to him. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And boy, is it. He can destroy your soul. You know why? Because as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, your soul belongs to him. You don't get around to giving it to him. He's got it lock, stock, and barrel. And it's his to do with as he chooses. But he's always fair. You get everything that you got coming to you. Okay? 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, when you came into the truth, you endured a great fight of afflictions. And so it is, when you begin to shine, Satan is going to be after you, but you have power over him. No step for a stepper. Okay? No step for a stepper at all. Take charge. Can-do type people. Partly what you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used, you were companions with people that knew the truth and stood up for Christ, stood up for God's name and God's people. For ye had compassion of me in my bounds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and a more enduring substance. Meaning, what we have waiting for us far surpasses anything we might dream of here on earth. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Beloved, hang on to it. Keep it. Which hath great recompense of reward. It does. You can believe it. Don't give up. Be patient. Endure. You can do it because he's given you power over all of your enemies. Well, but why do we have this war against Christianity? Because Satan is the prince of darkness. That's no problem. If you consider that a problem, then knowing that Christ gave you power even over Satan, all of your enemies, it's stated, then what are you worried about? Take charge. Can do. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, done what? After you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. It's yours. He promised it. It's all yours. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will tarry not. That sets the dispensation of time we're talking about. He's approaching the door, beloved. Are we going to stand here and let people tell us what to do about his name and face him when he comes? Think, well, it didn't hurt anything for us to call it a holy day. No, it's directly aimed at Christianity. Directly aimed at Christianity. And that's not going to cut it, friend. That's not going to slide. The war against Christ has begun. In a big time way. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That's why you must stand for something, or stand you stand for nothing. One verse to complete this lecture, 39. Excuse me. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, not to the son of perdition or anyone else, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Why? It's important. He paid the price and we received the salvation. We are his and we will stand for him. We will not tolerate someone to try to destroy the word that he has brought us, he being that living word, and allow it to be removed from the vocabulary of innocent people. It's not going to happen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the written word. Thank you, Father, for your fathership over us. We ask that you enable us with that strength, that endurance, that patience, Father, to make that stand in Jesus, Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the mark of the beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And he brings that with him in the outline of explaining who the he is and who the who is and they and so forth, making it a little simpler for the one that is learning in his word. You know, you may go to some places and they'll say, "Well, that Bible is too complicated." It's simple. A child can understand it. Okay. And besides that, it has 198 appendix in the back that help you understand deep subjects and gives you an outline even to study further. I like the Companion Bible. I like the King James basically because you can take a Dr. Strong's works and convert that back to the Hebrew, Greek, or Aramaic. And you need to really have that. If you're going to study at all, you need to have that ability. Daniel from Alabama. Where in the Bible does it tell you not to eat pork? Well, one place, Leviticus chapter 11, and the reason being, it's a scavenger. Scavengers were good animals created by Almighty God to cleanse disease from the earth, but don't go eat the disease, okay? Why? Because you're going to get sick if you do. Your body can't handle that. Without problems, that is. Nancy from Connecticut. In other words, God created these bodies. He designed them. He knows what makes them tick. And that's his advice, and really nothing has changed, all right? Nancy from Connecticut, would you explain 1 John 5:16? 5:16, intercessory prayer is good except for someone that has committed the unpardonable sin. Then you are not asked to pray for someone that has committed the unpardonable sin. And naturally, the unpardonable sin you will find written in Luke chapter 12, verse 10. Why? It says, if someone knows the real truth and refuses the Holy Spirit the opportunity to speak through them when they're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan to witness against him, that's unforgivable. Okay, James from California. In the Companion Bible, what is the appendix number that gives the information on the birth of Christ? 179. Appendix 179 will teach you more about the birth of Christ than probably most people need to know. All right, it's very complete. Appendix 179. Gloria from Ohio. I thank God for your teaching. You are so welcome. Concerning the Word of God, could you help me with Ezekiel 13, verses 18 through 20, and 1 Thessalonians 4:17? I know God doesn't contradict His Word. I'm just not understanding. Well, you see, because you're making a little bit of a mistake, let's take the Ezekiel 13, 18 through 20. What it's saying is, don't teach my people to fly to save their souls. That's not what it's about. I'm against it, God says. Now you see, you jump then to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Do you know what is written all the way back in the 13th verse? It's the subject. There's no way you can understand the 17th verse without understanding where we're going and what we're talking about. Verse 13, chapter 4, verse 13 stipulates that if you, as a Christian, believe Christ rose from the dead, and you either do or you're not a Christian, okay, period, that you better believe also all that are asleep in him, that means dead, passed on, are with him, and he will bring those with him he so chooses. And then, and not until then, will the rest of us meet him in the Ara is Ara meaning the spiritual body, okay, at the last trump, the seventh trump. So there's no contradiction, but misunderstanding, because you don't go back and pick up the subject and the object in verse 13 of chapter 4. Henry from Georgia, what does Adonai mean? It means the Lord, or Lord. Douglas from California, what does no salvation in the flesh mean? It's strange how you would ask that, because there's only one place I know of that it's written in God's Word, and that would be the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 15, speaking of a murderer such as Cain was. That what it means is that if you, and I'm going to use the Greek word because it's criminal homicide. It means minus any lack of passion. You see, passion can make a person insane. And a certain amount of innocency can come with this. Okay? Jealousy, blah, 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 and blah. In other words, this is one reason I never teach law. Because every case is different unto itself. But if a person... If a person deliberately poignants in the Greek, if I can just use that word, lies in wait and criminally takes the life of another, then they can never have forgiveness in the flesh. Why? Because as it is written in Deuteronomy 19, they're supposed to be executed. But again, that's one that... creates a murder void of passion and so forth, but just meanness. Ellen from Alabama, with all the fighting in the Middle East and their hatred for us continues until the Antichrist, will it continue until the Antichrist appears, or will the war stop and all the countries get along before the Antichrist appears? Well, we have to go to Revelation chapter 13 and know that the one world political system pretty well gets it all together at one time. And it is true that the terrorists do hate us. That's pretty obvious. We've disallowed them destroying our ships, our buildings, and so forth. We don't put up with their stuff. And they're beginning to learn a lesson, like God's instructions are to teach them that lesson. And so apparently it will come together, and there will almost be a one world system that works until Satan appears. Anthony from Tennessee. My question is this, and I'm glad you study with us. Okay, my question is this. Why aren't the pyramids of Egypt ever mentioned in the Bible? If they are, and I have overlooked the verse or verses, please tell me where to look. It is strange that monuments as grand and known to other cultures aren't noted or mentioned even by you. Well, I think you're being a little bit judgmental there. I've taught where the great pyramids are mentioned in God's Word, in Isaiah chapter 19, verse 20. And I've mentioned that many times. But anyway, keep listening, okay? You're getting there. You're a little rusty, but you'll do, okay? Rick from New Jersey. If God's people aren't appointed unto wrath, why must we contend with Satan, as stated in Mark 13? You have the whole, your concept is a little bit twisted. We're not appointed into wrath. That's a pleasure to get to stand against the false Messiah. God's not mad at you. God loves you. Being delivered up to him, this is very distressing. I have violent nightmares regarding this time coming. As Christians are killed, I must believe you, as you are the only one I've ever seen that teaches verse by verse. You're allowing fear to close your eyes, spiritual eyes, to the truth of the matter. It is documented in Luke 21 concerning this being delivered up that they can't harm not even one hair on your head. He's not coming to butcher people. He's not coming to torture people. I'm talking about the Antichrist. He's coming to play Jesus, Savior. And he's going to have love, false love, pouring out of his mouth from both sides, the middle, and all over, to deceive those that can possibly be deceived. And his name is Death, and when you're delivered up before him, you are delivered up before death. That's his name. Documentation, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hey, we'll be getting there before too long. And how precious it is. So you're getting yourself all stressed for nothing. And you're allowing Satan to take your joy because God has given you power over all of your enemies. Now believe that. Get some belief about you and trust the Lord and look forward to that time, because he's going to be taking care of you and protecting you. Not one hair on your head can be touched. God takes care of his own. That's why God would say to Satan, when he's cast out to the earth, as it is written in Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, don't dare touch those that have the seal of God in their forehead. God said it, and God meant it. He can't touch you. Why? Because you have intelligence in your forehead that you're not dumb enough to be taken in by him. Stand up and be counted. Betty from West Virginia. Please explain who he is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. I'm going to have to hold this over, Betty. I'm just out of time, and that's going to take some doing. We'll be first in the next lecture. Don't miss it. Well, I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all a lot for a real simple reason. You enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. Do you know something? You make his day when you do that. Because that's what he wants from you. We are brought to you by your tithes and your offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Bless God. He will always bless you. But most important, this. You stay in his word. You know something? Every day in his word is a good day. Even when there's trouble, it's still a good day. The reason being, because Jesus, Yeshua, he that sits at the right hand of God, he is the Savior.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.